Good morning to you. It's 18 minutes to 8 o'clock, 1-300-736-736 if you want to join in the conversation. Well, a big game for many reasons on the weekend. Fremantle are taking on Adelaide, both teams without a win, but one's been going a little bit better than the other, and that is the Fremantle Footy Club. Their footy boss is Peter Belly. Joins us. Belly, thanks for your time.
No problems, Kane. Good morning.
0-4, does it paint a true picture of your form, and how have you assessed it?
I think your listeners would know that you get what you deserve in footy, Kane. It's a cliche, but we're 0-4. We've played some good footy in patches, but we haven't played consistently good enough or well enough over four quarters to get a win. So we are where we are, 0-4. Look, it's been frustrating. There's been patches that have let us down. The second quarter, obviously, against Port springs to mind in the wet. And then, it wasn't even a quarter. It was a period where, on the weekend, Gold Coast were able to get a hold of us out of centre bounce and get some field position, and they four or five goals consecutively. So that was challenging. But, there's been some real positives as well during this high-performance centre stay.
What has impressed you, Billy? Let us know what some of those positives are from your mind.
Yeah, first of all, the attitude of our players up here with a lot of unknowns and being away from their home state and their families, they've approached that with a really positive mindset. So that's a big tick. The adaptation of large parts of Justin's game style, which is always difficult coming in with a new coach. And with the interruptions of coronavirus and everything else, that's probably hindered our adaptation to the way that Justin wants us to play. But by and large, we've seen some really strong adaptation from the guys with that, particularly in the team defence area. The ball movement remains a work in progress in comparison to team defence. And I guess also the continued development of some of our young players, Kane, including a couple of our draftees from as recently as last year.
How is Justin handling everything, Belly? Obviously, it's an unusual situation to start your senior coaching career, and the record doesn't look good yet, but he's still in a good headspace?
Yeah, look, he's. I was thinking about this the other day for the new coaches, and obviously Nixie as well. It's a very strange way to start what is an incredibly difficult caper, senior coaching. Look, I can't speak for Nixie. Haven't seen him in operation, clearly, but Justin's remained really clear and level-headed, philosophical about some of the challenges that we have. And, look, he's just a real connector and educator. So that's all that he's doing now is continuing to back in our players, be positive, where we need to improve or where we're making some errors, just continue to teach and educate in that area along with the other coaches. He's been really calm. And, look, obviously he'd like to get a win. We all would. And in particular because we believe we have done a lot right up here. So a win would give us some validation and give us some confidence and momentum. But we know that, all wins are difficult to get.
You're close, though. I mean, apart from a 29-point blowout, the losses haven't been, big blowout losses. So I would imagine the confidence is there and it's just about taking that next step. But it's not too far away.
Yeah, it's a strange one to say when you are 0-4, but I think our confidence levels remain relatively high because we've seen what we can do for large portions of games. And we've seen when we get things right and we implement the way that Justin wants us to play, both in offence and defence, that we can compete against really good teams. Clearly, Brisbane and Port Adelaide have been good teams for a while. Essendon back all the way back in round one, which seems like an absolute eternity ago, and Gold Coast have been clearly one of the form teams this year, and their youngsters are really adding some bite and contest to their structure.
From a broader point of view and a more rounded discussion, Billy, in terms of your list, you're clearly at a stage where you are rebuilding, if that's the word that you want to use, and you're going young and giving some players some opportunity. You've invested in the draft. How long does it take, in your mind, to get back to competing at a level against, the top eight, top four teams? Is it a year? Is it two? Is it three? Did you have a lens on that?
Look, I'm not sure is the answer. History will tell you that sometimes it can happen really quickly, but it can also take a time as well. So that's an ambivalent answer, but you really don't know. we're not that concerned with the birth certificates of our guys. So no one's been gifted games. They have to earn it. At the moment, they're earning it on the training track because there isn't a lot of sort of second-tier football or match simulation. Caleb Sarong's a really good example. He just fought his way into the team and demanded selection just because of his attitude and the way that he approached training. He was a shining light at training, and I matched him and whatever else that we could do between ourselves. So he got his opportunity. So we're certainly not gifting games or prioritising youth ahead of some of our more senior players, but the facts will show you that we are a young team. But we expect to win games, and we expect to, for those players to continue to improve quickly if they've got the right attitude.
And to do that, you're going to not have to be as reliant on Fife and Walters. If you look at your numbers, I mean, they're 1 and 2 in basically all of the key categories. Now, Nat's not going to be there this week. We know that, which presents another opportunity for some other players. But who's the next rung that's going to step up? You've got a lot of young players, but is there a gulf between the young and then the likes of Mundy and Fife and Walters?
Yeah, I think you're right in that the gap between the, and let's acknowledge that they're very, very good players. So they're amongst the AFL's elite, Fife and Walters. But there is a bit of a gap there, I suppose, between the next crew pushing through. So we need a greater depth of performance from all of our players, and so that gap between those two, who we have relied on a lot to win us games of footy. So whilst it's disappointing to not have that out there for the next week or two, it's also an opportunity for some other players to have his game time, to perhaps to get more stoppages, to be in the centre square a bit more often. Look, we'd love to have him out there, but it does provide opportunities as well. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how some of the younger guys react without their captain in the side.
Fremantle footy boss Peter Bell joins us this morning on 1629 SENSA. Bell, you mentioned Nat Fife out for this week and perhaps next week. Can you take us through how bad the hamstring is?
Well, yeah, it's what's been classified as your garden variety hamstring. So somewhere around the 2 to 3 week mark. I do know that he was running really well yesterday, and his strength was very strong, and all the other sort of physio measures that they use. So look, he'll push the medical staff sensibly, of course, but ultimately that'll be a decision for them whether it's a 2 or 3 week injury. It's been great to see Nat already, though. Even though he's out of the side this week, he wants to have a really meaningful role, perhaps even match day, which we're working through as well, which would be great for him just to get a different perspective on the game, and it'll fast track some of the things that Justin wants to implement. It'll fast track one of our leaders being able to see that. So we're working through whether he might even be able to get in the coach's box, which will be a bit of a challenge because of a restriction on numbers. If it's not there, then down on the interchange and talking to our players, I think that'll be wonderful for some of our young players to come off and have a player of Nat's calibre sit down and talk through what some of the coach's instructions are if it turns out that way from the coach's box.
Absolutely. The skipper gets so much attention, obviously, but the other one at the moment particularly is Jesse Hogan. Take us through his return to football and how he's tracking.
Yeah, look, he actually got to a lot of contests against Port and with the sort of conditions, it wasn't a night for Key Fords, although Charlie Dixon made a mockery of the wet weather, clunk on those big contested marks. And he's in rare form, Charlie. There were some pleasing signs for Jesse in that, look, he hadn't played for a year going into that Port game. We thought that, he might pull up a bit sore, but we were really pleased that he pulled up really well from that game. And in particular, his first half against Gold Coast was really positive. He's got a great footy IQ, Jesse. He's still learning how to gel with his teammates. He hasn't played a lot of footy with the guys. Look, he's been free lots of times where we haven't got him the ball. We've missed him a few times. But what's really pleasing is the number of contests that he's getting to. Now, it dropped off a little bit in the second half as perhaps just his conditioning might have given way a little bit. But the first half, he got to a lot of contests. You can look at the kicks, marks and handballs. But what we're really interested in is how many contests he's getting to, because we know with his footy IQ and his ability, he's a handful for defenders and he's only going to get better.
Yeah, I'd agree with that assessment. I thought he looked sharp, particularly in the first half, and he'll only continue to get better. That's an obvious statement. Now, Billy, one more game after this Crows game in Queensland, then you're heading home. Do you expect that to still be the case? I mean, the fixture, as Gillon McLachlan has said, is changing weekly, but at the moment, you're penciled in July 19th for the Derby or the Derby, whatever they call it over there, in front of 60,000 at Optus. Are you confident that it'll go ahead?
I am, Kane, really confident. Clearly, Western Australia is very similar to South Australia. So as far as, you know, the amount of infection within the state. So, look, perhaps you could tell us who we're playing in round six. At the moment, it's Melbourne. I'm not sure about that. It could still be Melbourne. And you wouldn't want to be Travis Auld at the moment. It'll be just an absolute cluster, getting all the fixtures and all the different machinations and whatever else. So I feel for him. So yeah, clearly we've got Adelaide this week, and then we're fixtured to play Melbourne the week after. But that, I'm not sure about that game, what happens there, but I'm 100% confident that we'll be leaving the HPC after the game against Melbourne or that Saturday afternoon, back in Perth that night, and then can't wait for a derby, full crowd at Optus Stadium the week after. We'll be a little bit awkward given that both teams will be in quarantine, although we do have exemptions to train during that period, which we're just working through at the moment. But it'll be wonderful for WA football, and I reckon the whole AFL too. It'll be really foreign. It'll seem quite strange to be watching a game of footy where there is the crowd engagement. And look, it's wonderful for our supporters and members who've supported us really strongly to have that home game.
Yeah, well said. Hey, Clarko caused a stir on Sunday night with his comments on the state of the game. He said it's basically in dire straits. Do you share Clarko's view, or was he a little bit out of line considering the challenges that the AFL are facing currently?
Yeah, I don't worry too much about what's happening in other games. And it's a selfish point of view as far as we're just worrying about, you know, the fact that we're 0-4, Kane. So it's not something I've worried too much about, but I've watched a lot of footy clearly, and there's been some, in the circumstances, there's still been some really good contests, I think. Even some of our own games, in the circumstances, I think have been pretty engaging. So maybe it was just after a pretty flat Sunday's fixtures. I think a couple of those games were low scoring, but look, it's not something that I've given a whole lot of thought to, but given his position in the game, you've got to respect his opinions. But yeah, I suggest we, you know, in the circumstances, that we see how the rest of the year pans out. And look, I wouldn't think that we need to worry too much about it at this stage, but I'll leave that to you guys to sort through.
Dockers taking on the Crows on Sunday, 12:35 Adelaide time. Belly, what do you make of the Crows?
Look, they've had a tough start to the year, clearly, along with us. I thought their third quarter against Brisbane was pretty good, really good, actually. And we know that they've got some proud players in there. So, look, not sure what's happening with Matty Crouch, but he's been a player that's performed well against us previously. We know the energy that kids like Chase Jones and Ned McHenry are going to bring. They can really run, and I thought Tex and Lynchy played probably their best games for the year on the weekend as well, so they draw some confidence out of that, and look, they'll be smarting with the start to the season as we are, so, you know, we're expecting a pretty fierce opposition.
Billy, we appreciate your time, mate. You're always generous with it, and we for one appreciate it. Good luck this weekend, and we'll chat to you throughout the year, hopefully.
No problems. Thanks a lot, guys.